This is Jay Sekulow. President Biden unleashes a tirade on pro-life MAGA conservatives.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Sekulow. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jay Sekulow.
All righty. Well, the President of the United States gave a speech. It was supposed to be a unifying speech. He was going to talk about political unrest. I'll tell you, the unrest was the entire speech. First of all, the imaging. We'll talk about that in a moment. But basically, I'm going to draw this in a nutshell. We're going to explore this the entire hour, and we're taking your calls. We want your reaction to this as well. But let me just put this into context. He talked about, and this is in statement, this is our bite number nine. Listen to what he says, number nine. Listen to this.
Not every Republican, not even the majority of Republicans are MAGA Republicans. Not every Republican embraces their extreme ideology. I know, because I've been able to work with these mainstream Republicans.
So it's not semi-fascist anymore. It's not ultra-MAGA. It's MAGA Republicans, which is America First Republicans. Listen to then how he defines what a MAGA force is. This is what he, don't say these words, by the way. That's President Biden's word. Number 14.
MAGA forces are determined to take this country backwards. Backwards to an America where there is no right to choose, no right to privacy, no right to contraception, no right to marry who you love.
So if you are a pro-life conservative, you are a MAGA Republican, you are taking away people's rights, and you are dangerous to the constitutional republic.
Yeah, therefore you are labeled an enemy. Again, adding caveats to not just being a MAGA Republican, which of course they can use as like a boogeyman and say, look at this, but then start throwing in what has been historically, by the way, and for you too, Joe Biden, a issue that has been a pretty moderate conservative issue, which is what? Life. Life has been pretty much a mainstay. So much so that when you had candidates like a Mitt Romney, they had to flip-flop on that issue and move to a pro-life platform. Why? Because it's a mainstay of the traditional Republican platform. Now, I don't even know if I would consider, honestly, being pro-life part of the MAGA platform, if you want to say that. I feel like that's maybe issue 20 on the list of things that probably would be the what you would label a MAGA conservative. Same with a lot of these issues. Whether that's life, like you said, privacy, which we know is essentially life again, contraception, which is again, life again, and then marriage, which is something that if you historically look back on it, and we've discussed this before, President Trump made a lot of big movements in terms of LGBT representation and dealing with those laws across the world. So all this is really saying, we don't mean all Republicans, but really we do. And we're going to label you as the enemy. And you just had probably the worst speech in our lifetime of a president go on and yell. And not because, look, I had some of my friends who said, I didn't watch it. I'm not giving him my time of day. I think that's a mistake. You have to give people, you have to watch this. You have to see what they're saying about you. And that's what it is. They're saying it about you, not about the people on January 6th, not the people who are doing different things. They're saying this about mainline. He tries to say, I'm not talking about the majority of Republicans. You're telling me the majority of Republicans aren't pro-life? I'd find that hard to believe. Yeah, look at
80%.
Look at every red state in the country that are passing laws right now. What does it look like? Pretty pro-life. He's talking about you. Give me a call, 1-800-684-3110. In this divisive mood, in this shielded gates of hell, visual that
Talk
looks
about
like
that for a minute.
We only got a minute till we go to break here. But yeah, I mean, the blood red, and you had the military there. It looked like it was out of Star Wars. I mean, it looked like it was the Emperor up there or Snoke up there making his grand speech in a throne room in front of Independence Hall. Yeah, but themed out. Well, I guess it's Halloween season, so I guess that makes sense. And he's pretty much a skeleton, so it's fine, too. Give us a call, though. Like I said, 1-800-684-3110. I'm fired up. I think it was egregious. It was disgusting. Maybe one of the worst moments.
Did you not like it?
Maybe one of the worst moments in political American history. And I hate that it was caveated as not political. This wasn't a political speech. And guess who said that? His own press secretary. We'll play that when we get back. Said, this wasn't a political speech. What are you talking about? This was just going as a presidential address. Yeah, that's why the major networks didn't carry it. That's why Fox decided to just throw it in the corner and let Tucker rant for an hour. Give me a break. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible, and I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
Welcome back to Seculo. We are going to start this segment. Obviously, a lot of you called in, and Mike Pompeo is joining us. But let's first hear from yesterday, right before the meeting, right before the speech. This was the White House press correspondent. This was Karine Jean-Pierre when asked a question. Simple question. Is tonight a political speech? Let's hear it.
Is tonight a political speech?
No, it's not a political speech. This is an opportunity, again, for the president to directly have a conversation with the American people.
It's a conversation with the American people, a conversation that not only didn't hit most of the major issues, specifically attacked half the country.
Well, and it hit some major issues.
Yeah, it hit major issues.
If you're pro-life.
Yeah, well, okay, I mean issues, actual problems that are happening in this country.
So, well, he ignored a list of them. He doesn't talk about China, crime, inflation, fentanyl, the border, zero references. He does mention Charlottesville once, January 6th twice, insurrection 3 times, Donald Trump 3 times, extremism 7 times, violence 10s, MAGA 13, Republicans 16. Joining us now is the former Secretary of State and our Senior Counsel for Global Affairs, Mike Pompeo. Mike, you watch his speech. I mean, he starts with labeling extremism as if you're pro-life. He says it, the right to privacy, the right to choose, these are out of the mainstream, thus you're a MAGA Republican.
This was one of the most political speeches I've frankly ever heard from a president, certainly one who gave it as a White House address in prime time for 25 minutes, and you all got it exactly right. His agenda is so disconnected from where the American people are that he has to take half of the American public, including moms raising their kids, taking them to soccer games, veterans, soldiers, all of whom voted for Donald Trump and the policies that we had for 4 years. And he now basically says, you are outside of the American mainstream. You are an extremist. This was a radical speech. This was an extreme speech. The visuals were terrible. I'm not sure who thought this was a good idea on his advance team, but it made him look disconnected in ways that I think will not only hurt him politically, but are so divisive and so inconsistent. What he tells us every day he wants to do that you can only describe that speech last night is an effort to gaslight the American people and tell them things that we all know simply aren't true.
Yeah, and I think when you look at the whole package, when they said it was, what was the main topic? They said, like, unifying the nation, healing a broken soul of the nation. And then you come out and you attack half the nation. It's not like he said specifically people that did this. It became a label that got so broad in the first minutes of his speech. He started throwing around the pro-life comments, started throwing in all of these, like I said, he said, it's not about mainstream Republicans. It's about Republicans that are pro-life. Well, that's a pretty mainstream Republican point of view.
But Mike, you mentioned the imagery And we're going to talk a lot about that in this broadcast. But the imagery of the soldiers there, and you were served in the military, the way they did the background, this was an Independence Hall. It was very ominous, and it's the way it came across. At least, I think, to the American people, it looked like, if you're just watching in, you're thinking, what kind of speech is this, actually? And then, of course, you heard the content.
No doubt. To have two Marines in their dress blues standing at Independence Hall while the president is railing against half the American people. American people who, by definition, are trying to make America great, right? This is the MAGA word that he throws around. He calls us semi-fascist. I just keep coming back to, he didn't talk about his Inflation Reduction Act. He didn't talk about his school debt forgiveness program. These are things that are wildly unpopular and have made inflation run rampant in America. And so he has to turn to almost a panicked call. A panicked call that the other side is just really extremist, and so you have to walk away from these people who are ordinary citizens who love our republic deeply and who worked and defended their nation and who care about the unborn and trying to protect those lives. He called those people semi-fascist, MAGA Republicans, and said that we're trying to destroy the republic. That is not the way a president who even pretends to want to unify the nation would speak, and the backdrop against which he said it made it all the worse.
Yeah, the unification side of this, you know, we there are some topics that are real, that are happening right now that we need addressed, whether that is obviously inflation, whether that is what happened with the baby formula shortage, or then you have the gas problems that have happened. And you could take some wins on that, as much as I disagree that they're wins, because the last 6 weeks things have maybe gotten a little bit better, as you've maybe seen at the gas pump. But then there are situations even where guns, you brought up, you passed a guns bill, no reference to these mass shootings that are happening, really, or under his watch, or the school shootings that are happening under his watch, issues that really matter, issues that your children have to deal with every day. Instead, you have this blanket attack on people who are really, if we're going to label it, he labels it MAGA conservatives. I would never label myself as a MAGA Republican just because that's not the way I talk. Now, am I a Christian conservative? Yeah. And guess what? That's essentially what he's saying in here.
Yes.
Which is, if you have a belief system that says life begins, you know, in the womb, right, then sorry, you're not with the mainstream, so therefore you are our enemy. And it's absurd, and I hope what this does is wakes people up, because they've been sleeping for the last 3 weeks, and they need to wake up, because we're seeing elections change, we're seeing things move, it is time to get there.
So Mike, he makes this statement, he claims that, quote, again, using this MAGA Republican statements, do not respect the Constitution, don't believe in the rule of law. The irony of this is pretty telling, because when you look at it, this is a guy, the border's in total chaos, the crime rates have soared, the bureaucracies have been weaponized with 87 new IRS agents, and this guy's sitting there like he's Darth Vader, I mean, with the two soldiers behind him, and then we know that they've got all this issues with the FBI and bias. So all of that takes place. It sounds like they're not even aware of what the American people are actually thinking about right now.
I think that's absolutely true. And to your point earlier, Jay, right, he talked about political violence, political extremism. I remember the summer of 2020. I remember when progressives went to the streets and caused unmitigated riots to take place. And they told the law enforcement people, nope, stand down, we're going to defund you. If you want to talk about political extremism, that was them. And those of us who have these traditional ideas of our nation, this Judeo-Christian heritage that has made our country so exceptional, so great, he didn't speak to that last night. He spoke to the worst sentiments, the worst places in people's hearts, and he tried to use name-calling, if you will, right? Just shouting MAGA a dozen-plus times to somehow incite his voters to go to the polls. I don't think it's going to work. I think the American people can see the destruction that the Biden administration has brought to their families and to their communities, and I am confident that they will hear that speech last night, and they will say that is not someone that has any prayer of unifying our country, nor anyone who's going to take the country in the direction that a conservative Christian like me wants it to go.
All right, let me play. This is bite number 20. This is the president talking about the ongoing attack on American democracy. Take a listen.
While the threat to American democracy is real, I want to say as clearly as we can, we are not powerless in the face of these threats. We are not bystanders in this ongoing attack on democracy. There are far more Americans, far more Americans from every background and belief who reject the extreme MAGA ideology than those that accept it.
So Mr. Secretary, here's what I think happens. The president first calls conservatives semi-fascists. That gets panned across the board, including CNN and MSNBC saying, gee, that's not the right. They shouldn't be doing that to half the American people. So they get away with that. Then it used to be ultra MAGA. Now it's extreme MAGA. Now it's just MAGA Republicans. So I'm trying to think, if I'm thinking like they would be thinking politically, what was the point? Who was he trying to reach with this speech?
Yeah, he must be focused for grouping this, right? Just saying it out loud and seeing if it sticks and see if he's going to get panned even by his own team. He was clearly speaking to a group of people who are the ones who think that the January 6th Commission is conducting a fair analysis of what took place that day. The same group of people who think that it was okay for those riots back in the summer of 2020. The group of people who became so obsessed with the central understanding that Donald Trump had to be defeated. I think he was speaking to those people, trying to figure out how to get them riled up. But the truth is, most Americans, 70 plus million, understand a very different America than what he described. And the very problems that you outlined that have happened on his watch these first now almost 2 years are the very problems folks are going to be thinking about in the next weeks as they go to the polls. I'm convinced of that.
You're absolutely right. And thanks again, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, our senior counsel for global affairs. Mike, thanks for being with us. You know, Logan, we talked a little bit about the atmospherics, but the atmospherics, I mean, you're a visual, you've been working in this industry for decades now. That was a really bad atmospheric.
Oh, absolutely. You're in front of Independence Hall. It should look beautiful and patriotic and American. Instead, like you said, it looked demonic. It looked evil.
Dark.
Dark. It looked like something out of a horror movie. And that alone was a bad visual. There it is. It looks like a parody. Then you add the actual content of the speech. And there are comments coming in, and I don't necessarily disagree with it, with they're saying how this is feeling, which is it feels like not only is he trying to divide the country, he's trying to pretend that there isn't half this country. And it does feel like that moment where it's like, okay, well, 50% of the country is this way, 50% of the country is this way, but let's try to convince that small percentage of people, that those people are evil. Not that we disagree with them. And he talks a little bit later on about, you know, and I'll find that bite specifically where he says, well, you know, there are reasonable disagreements in politics. Well, clearly the ones that aren't reasonable, the ones he laid out, which are, by the way, the mainstream conservative platforms. And really, at the end of the day, the Christian platforms. And I think that is really what this is. This is an attack on your faith. This is an attack on beliefs. That go against maybe a little bit of what the Democrats disagree with. And that is something we're going to address in the next segments. I'm going to play some of those bites. You're going to hear it because, look, it was a long speech. It only took 25, 26 minutes, but a lot of content there. We're going to walk through it. We also have a full bank of calls right now. We're going to take some of your calls as well. I know a lot of people have a lot to say. We'll be right back.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're going to analyze the speech. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Professor Harry Hutchinson's joining us, our director of policy. But let's go ahead and go right to the phones first. Again, 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us.
Let's go to Barbara in Pennsylvania on line one. It's got a lot to say. Barbara, welcome.
Oh, thank you so much for taking my call. I just want to say that I am a conservative Christian. I'm a grandmother, mother of four. I am not an extremist. I want our borders secure. I want small government. I am pro-life, and I am not an extremist. But I felt last night as I watched this speech, I was horrified. I thought the visuals were horrifying, and I felt personally attacked.
I 100% agree with you, Barbara. I felt exactly the same way. I felt personally attacked by the President of the United States.
It was probably his intent. You understand that.
And look, you guys have commented on my thoughts. Like, I'm not as hard, like, crazy. Like she said, I'm not an extremist. I think you could find a lot of middle ground in some issues. But when you're attacking people over some very, very basic conservative values, and again, like I said, replace MAGA for Christian, because that's really what it is. I don't think that is in the actual sense, but in what he labeled as MAGA, as MAGA conservatives, kept saying that over again, are issues that are almost directly linked to Christian conservatives, the traditional conservative Christian voter, not your hard extremist right-wing person.
Well, and the MAGA movement, as it's called, and it's loosely defined, but on a lot of the issues that Joe Biden laid out, Professor Hutchinson, Harry, were not issues that the MAGA movement even addressed. But he did not want to drop for a moment addressing those of us that take a pro-life position as an extreme MAGA Republican. But this is not a new history, unfortunately.
I think that is precisely correct. And so last night, Joe Biden revealed for all of the American people, all of the world to see, that he is a hate-filled individual. So, Jay, we now know who Joe Biden truly is. We live in a world of diabolical lies, in a world of really universal deceit led by globalists. Just this week, Joe Biden called Republicans semi-fascist. During the same week, he stood before what appears to be the gates of hell, and he then called all Americans who do not worship at the altar of abortion a threat to our democracy. This speech, I think, was the most hate-filled speech in American history. But it is equally important to remember one thing and one thing only. Joe Biden has always been a divider of the American people. Who can forget his love affair with the segregationists in Congress, Jesse Helms, Robert Byrd, Strom Thurmond? Whenever segregationists needed help, Joe Biden was there to lend a hand. So he is always focused on dividing of the American people.
Yeah, I guess that wouldn't be considered one of his legitimate political differences. Let's play that bite. So this is the bite. This is 36 from Joe Biden. So just in case you wanted a bit more background on this speech, he's not necessarily talking about all conservatives. Let's listen.
American democracy only works only if we choose to respect the rule of law and the institutions that were set up in this chamber behind me. Only if we respect our legitimate political differences.
Caveating political differences with legitimate political differences, because in the very beginning of this speech, you just said if you're pro-life, that's not a legitimate political difference. And that takes care of so many people. So you are already alienating them. And then you're talking about the chamber behind you, and I feel like he knows nothing about American history when he's talking about the chamber behind him in Independence Hall where the Constitution is signed. And I don't know if you guys know about this. During that whole time, we were in a little bit of unrest.
Yeah, we were in a conflict with conflict. It's called the Revolutionary War.
It's called a revolution for a reason.
Yeah. Because we revolted from the king. Now, I want to take Tim's call because I think this is an interesting call. Get Harry's view on this. Let's take number two. Tim. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
For starters, when will President Biden learn the difference between democracy and a representative republic, for starters? Number two, I give him an F on his delivery. He sounded more like Goebbels and Hitler than a sitting president.
Well, I thought, look, the imaging was, whoever came up with that set design.
You couldn't help but think of that.
I know.
You couldn't help but, look, you take just those visuals. You couldn't help but evoke totalitarianism, authoritarianism.
Yeah.
You couldn't help but
see
it. And
then you got to remind yourself that this is the guy who put 87,000 new IRS agents in place, and we got an FBI that is so politically biased. But, go ahead.
No, that was it. I mean, you're right. When you have those kind of things built up, and then all of a sudden you have this speech that is in front of this visual that is disturbing to anyone out there, the least traditional political-looking speech.
Host at CNN called him out on it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The lighting was bad. Everything was off. CNN called him out on it. Most, honestly, we'll say this, journalists with political differences that I disagree with, a lot of them called him out on it and said that this was a disgusting speech.
So, you know, the caller made a very good point, and that is he talks about democracy, which we're democratic in the sense of being a constitutional republic. But he conflated all that. That wasn't part of this. And I think that the fact is that whatever the reason for the speech was, and I'm still trying to figure out, does that gin up his base? I don't have any idea. The lack of understanding the history of the United States was very evident.
Well, I think that's true, but that has been true of Joe Biden's history. He fails to understand, as the caller points out, what a constitutional republic is. So if Joe Biden disagrees with a decision by the United States Supreme Court, he argues that that decision is anti-democratic. Yes, it is. It was designed to be anti-democratic. Joe Biden, why don't you read the United States Constitution? But I think Joe Biden has reached a point in his life where he is no longer capable of learning new things, including old things that include the U.S. Constitution.
Yeah.
Right behind. Here's the thing, and we'll take more calls coming up. We've got a lot. We got a full 30 minutes ahead. We got a couple lines open now at 800-684-3110 because we took calls early. There was a bite. Do we have time to play number 29, or is it running too tight?
It's a little too tight.
I want people to listen to the language here.
Today, there are dangers around us we cannot allow to prevail. We hear, you've heard it, more and more talk about violence as an acceptable political tool in this country.
Right there.
It's not.
This was a president that said nothing in the summer of 2020 when cities were being burnt down, Harry, and federal buildings were being burnt down on the West Coast.
I think that's precisely correct. So the Democrats, if you actually analyze their behavior and their rhetoric, they believe in violence when it advances their cause. They oppose violence when it doesn't advance their cause. But I would also caution listeners to be aware of one thing and one thing only. Joe Biden was trying to bait conservatives into violence.
Yep.
And so we should not take that bait.
100%.
Yeah, do not take the bait. You get labeled this, understand that most people know the truth. Right now, we have a second half hour coming up. If you don't get it on your local station, you can find us broadcasting live right now. And a great way also to share is to just click share. If you're watching on Facebook, is to hit that thumbs up right now. I would really appreciate it. If you're on YouTube, hit the plus. If you're on Rumble, that gets it out to thousands more people. So again, thumbs up, like, share right now. More coming up, second half hour. Just a second.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Jay Sekulow.
So President Biden gives a speech that is off-putting at best, at worst, which I think is what it really was an attack on at least 50% of the American populace, voting public, and you're a MAGA Republican extremist if you're pro-life. And that's what he led with. So I think that's important for people to understand. That is what he led with.
Which does show, I'm sure their internal polling and all that shows that that is an issue that has rallied the base. And we can't be blind to that and say that Dobbs didn't get a large Democrat audience to probably pay more attention to the midterms than maybe they were due to the fact that Roe was overturned. As much as we wanted to take that victory lap for a minute, we knew this was going to happen. But yeah, specifically targets Christians, specifically targets conservatives, labels them as extremists, and that is going to be the playbook that is going to roll out over the next 2 years. So be prepared. And as you know, Harry said, don't take the bait. They try to really whip us up into violent rhetoric. Don't do it. We're going to encourage you not to do that. But what I do want you to be is be very aware of what's being said about you, because you may be one of those people who decided not to watch the speech. I find that to be a mistake, because if you watch the speech, you see how you are going to be labeled to, maybe, by the way, if it's 50% of the country, maybe to 50% of your friends, 50% of the parents at your school, 50% of the country. So how are you going to be able to do that if they start labeling you as extremists for having pretty mainstream points of view? Well, just because you typically vote conservative, just because maybe you attend a church and you believe that abortion is wrong. That is simple, basic conservative Christian fundamentals, and they're throwing you out there as a right-wing extremist MAGA conservative. And again, using that as a negative. What I would encourage you to do right now, our phones are completely jammed. Click that thumbs up right now if you're watching on YouTube. There's a couple thousand of you watching. That really helps. It gets it to so many more people's feeds. People have to hear this. And the easiest way, the free way to do it, is to click that thumbs up if you're watching on YouTube, is to hit the plus if you're watching on Rumble, and to like and share if you are on Facebook. Because the more interactions that happen and comment, the more the interactions that happen, the more this show continues to grow. So I'm going to ask you to do that right now before we take this next call and before we go to our next set of comments. And look, we talked about the visuals, and talking about even just if you watch it on mute, how would you feel? We evoke Star Wars, you evoke a lot of different things that your brain can help to go to. You know what really did feel like, though, was very North Korean. Not North Korean or China.
Yeah.
It had this look of China or North Korea.
Authoritarian,
big, proud dictator who walks out with the red background and the military behind him and says, everyone who disagrees with me is wrong and evil. And we're used to hearing that.
Well, he does say that.
We're used to hearing that in campaign speeches. But to pretend this is a presidential address is disturbing and disgusting.
Well, listen to what he says. This is bite number 23. Take a listen to this.
MAGA Republicans have made their choice. They embrace anger. They thrive on chaos. They live not in the light of truth, but in the shadow of lies. But together we can choose a different path. We can choose a better path forward to the future.
Let me tell you who can't choose a better path, though. I'm going to play this bite. This is bite number 14.
MAGA forces are determined to take this country backwards. Backwards to an America where there is no right to choose, no right to privacy.
There. No right. You realize what he just said. He labeled pro-life Americans as, in his view, this, MAGA forces that are dangerous to the to the democracy, as he calls it, to the constitutional republic as we really operate. But that's what he said. So the phraseology that he's using, the first identifier is if you're pro-life. That's his first identifier. So what does that say about where we are? So we're going to get back. We're going to talk about what does this mean politically? Why was he doing this?
Yeah, the guy who was mostly pro-life his whole career.
Also. Yeah, until he decided to be vice president.
Right, exactly. So you know what these guys are? They're just a bunch of lying politicians. We know that, but they're going to do anything to win. And we have to stand up to it. We have to make sure that they don't. And we hear answers. We give answers that make sense to people. Because if not, if you're living in your own echo chamber, you're going to be in trouble. And we're going to lead you through that over the next half hour. Take a lot of these questions and comments that are coming in. We'll be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial at a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack. It's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible, and I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
Welcome back to the broadcast. We're going to start this segment with a phone call. A lot of you guys have been holding for over half an hour. We appreciate it. Let's go to Harry, who's calling in Pennsylvania on line three. Harry, welcome.
Thank you for having me call, or taking my call. I just wanted to say about that speech last night. It was infuriating to me to be called everything from fascist to a non-entity. But what I wanted to say was about, this is reminiscent to me, about the McCarthy hearings back in the 1950s. If you aren't for this guy, you're nothing. You're out of here. You know, it's so sickening to have that type of attitude presented to the American public. I mean, come on now. Come on, Joe.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. You know, the speech labeled people, and he labeled half the American populace. And he did it, and this is what's so, to me, discouraging about what he did, under this guise of American power with this, you know, red background, and then two Marines in their dress uniforms, like Logan said, as if this was, you know, China. But here you have it, on a speech that was nothing but political. So Colonel Wes Smith is with us right now. And Wes, we spoke this morning before we went on air. You said you found that personally very offensive.
Absolutely. And I cannot overstate that, Jay, that as a career military officer, I was personally offended by that backdrop. Under military regulation, troops, we're forbidden from showing up at any partisan event or any political event in uniform. Of course, as the commander-in-chief, he can order troops to show up wherever he wants them to. But he looked for all the world like a fascist strongman. And I sat there watching it. And again, I was truly offended. I felt sorry for those young Marines that were used that way.
Yeah.
Having never worn the uniform, I don't think he understands the military ethos and how insulting that was for the military.
It was insulting to the military, and it was ominous to the American people. This is the president that's got a FBI out of control, an IRS where they're putting 87,000 more agents, and they're making sure that the special agents can, you know, shoot to kill. I mean, this is for tax cases. And you think to yourself, how did we end up here? But this was a calculated move, but no accident here. Here's what you're not. He's not going to call you a semi-fascist anymore because the blowback on that was too great. Ultra MAGA people were wearing that as a slogan of honor. So now you're an extreme MAGA Republican that's taking away women's rights to choose. That's how he's labeling it.
If I could say one other thing, sure. Jay, that was lazy labeling. It was philosophically and politically very unsophisticated. Most conservative Americans support the idea of American greatness and of the principles of making America great again, even if they don't support Donald Trump. He took all 70 million plus of us and lumped us in one group together. And like I said, it's lazy labeling and stereotyping.
75 million people voted for the former president of the United States. So whether you like the policies or not, or whether you voted or whichever way you voted, that's a lot of people to label like this, Logan.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a very large amount of people to label as essentially your enemy and not just your political, someone you disagree with. And he tried to do his best, you know, I'd say to caveat that. But the problem was
they get their own rhetoric too.
Well, he'd caveat it and say, I don't mean mainstream Republicans. And when he says mainstream Republicans, it seems like he means Liz Cheney and Mitt Romney, because I don't really see any others that are out there that are these, you know, non-pro-life. I mean, how many, there probably maybe a handful of non-pro-life Republicans that are in the House and the Senate. I mean, legitimately, yep. I mean, it's pretty mainstream point of view. I mean, maybe those that are coming out of some areas of the country, but the majority are this. And that's the difference. You're labeling not just an extremist group. You're not going after them. Even if he just said Trump supporters, which by the way, obviously I disagree with, but when you started throwing in there these sort of, again, mainline conservative points of views that you held until pretty recently also, Joe Biden, as enemy, I can't take it. And I don't think many people can. And you have to be careful, though, over the next couple of years.
I want to play some rhetoric. This is rhetoric. This is aimed at the Supreme Court of the United States by a sitting senator who's now the Senate Majority Leader, Chuck Schumer. Take a listen to this.
I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind and you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions.
So he's trying to intimidate Supreme Court justices on cases they heard. You will not know what hit you. You know what hit them besides protests at their house? One guy tried to assassinate Brett Kavanaugh. So they talk about violence and all this like it's, you know, I condemn violence on any side.
Yeah, you know, it also didn't do change the minds of the Supreme Court justices.
No, it sure did.
Who actually probably backfired on you, if we're being honest.
It's I think so.
So those, I mean, I think they were strong conservatives. I don't think they were going to be not doing it that way, but you want to push a Supreme Court justice? We'll see what happens. I mean, that's really what happens. You had Roe overturned, something that I was shocked to see in our lifetime.
Yeah, but we did. Take another call.
All right, let's keep going. Let's go to Alex on line four. Alex, you're on the air.
Hi, guys. Hey, I really appreciate you being there.
Thanks.
And getting the points across that we need to hear. And I'm just going to be real brief. You made my point that I was going to say or comment on just before the break. You know, you and Harry, I'm walking away with this, that this is trying to provoke Trump supporters to lash out in some kind of violence or something. And I'm also walking away with, they're not only trying to cheer up people to maybe go out and do violent things out of being angry or trying to provoke people to be angry, but all the pro-abortion people, I think this is another issue. They're trying to cheer up their base to come out before the midterms.
Yeah. No, I think you're right, but we're going to tell you, do not take the bait. Nobody should be taking
the bait. Don't take the bait, but listen closely. I think you need to listen closely to the way people are talking. Look, let's play bite four from Joe Biden. We'll hear what he had to say. And this is supposed to be a non-political address to the nation.
But as I stand here tonight, equality and democracy are under assault. We do ourselves no favor to pretend otherwise. So tonight, I've come to this place where it all began to speak as plainly as I can to the nation about the threats we face, about the power we have in our own hands to meet these threats, and about the incredible future that lies in front of us if only we choose it.
This is coming from a guy, Wes, that has weaponized the IRS, the bias within the Department of Justice. We spent a week talking about that this week. I'm not going to go over that again. In the FBI, and there's all these agents leaving again. As soon as there's an investigation, the agents are escorted out because of bias. And he's threatening the American people with this, or at least half the American people.
Yeah, he gave what can only be fairly called an extremist speech in order to counter what he seems as extremism. I thought it was telling. I observed people and body language. He was very angry. Not once did our president smile at anything, even when he was pretending to be talking about hope. And what I came away from listening to this entire thing, and it was painful, and again, it was embarrassing, but rather than invoke our better angels, President Biden invoked our societal demons last night. He purposely pushed Americans into their political corners.
So I'm wondering, and this is a kind of a Jordan question. We'll talk to him when he gets back. He's been out of town on a case. Let's all talk about this. What are the political consequences of this? Did it galvanize his left flank, or did it galvanize the Republicans and saying, you know, I don't like my pro-life Republicans being called, you know, ultra-MAGA or here MAGA extremists?
I think we'll have to see how the next few weeks plays out. I think also what I said before is I hope that enough conservatives actually tuned in to see this and to see what people are saying about you. Not only what people are saying about you, what the president of the United States, whether you like me calling him that or not, says about you. And what did he not bring up? This is a great list that our team put together. Didn't mention China. Didn't mention crime. Zero mentions of inflation. Zero mentions of fentanyl or the border. A few references to Donald Trump. Extremism, violence, MAGA got 13, Republicans got 16. So that's what this was. This was not as Karine Jean-Pierre said, this was not a non-political speech. I mean, she said that yesterday, right before the speech. I had a feeling she had an early copy of that speech to review. And we all did too, because we saw the semi-fascist terms being thrown around. That backfired so extreme, they had to come up with something else. They came up with MAGA extremists, again, which was said, 13, 15 times, something like that. You said don't take the bait, and I agree, don't take the bait. Well, what I can do is say you still need to get activated in what is going on.
100%.
Because the midterms are coming up. And look, if this was 6 weeks ago, a lot of conservatives were, you know, sitting back, relaxing, saying, we got this. But the times are changing, and what you hope is that a lot of people saw this and say, this is not the president. This is not the way I want this to go. This is not the America I live in. And I mean that even for Democrats. I hope a lot of Democrats watched and said, this was disgusting and disturbing. Even if I agree with him, this is not the way we treat other Americans in front of, you know, Independence Hall, Philadelphia. It's absolutely absurd. Yeah, but painted red with red lights in the military. Again, like you said, like a horror movie. We have one more segment coming up, and we have a full bank of calls, but they may open up, and they will. So 1-800-684-3110. Watch it on YouTube. Hit the thumbs up, plus up on Rumble, and share on Facebook.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Start taking some of these calls. We got a lot of people calling in, but before we do that, I want to play this bite. This is again from the press secretary yesterday, and we already played you the bite where so this is not going to be a political speech. Here's how they caveat that's not a political speech. Here's how they caveat that you are one of the extremists. Here's bite 70.
When you think about Roe and protecting women's right to choose, those are majority of Americans support that. So how that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about agenda that is not popular. We're talking about agendas that is incredibly extreme. We're talking about an agenda that is not in line where majority of Americans are. So yeah, the president's going to talk about that, and he's not going to shy away.
So the country leans pro-life, by the way. So this is, okay, that's number one. And if you said it was even, 50-50, or 60-40, the other way, 60% pro-choice, 40% pro-life, you're labeling 40% of the populace of the electorate as MAGA extremists? And I guess and a week ago, those MAGA extremists were, you know, semi-fascists, but that phrase didn't work.
She was labeling just people who are against abortion as complete extremists. And you're talking about people that are extreme, incredibly extreme. And we're talking about that agenda is not where the majority of Americans are.
No.
Well, look, it's, if anything, it's pretty split down the middle. So let's go ahead and take some phone calls. Some of you guys have been holding for a long, long time.
Yep, go in the order they call.
Yep, Trey, North Carolina, you're up. Line five, sorry for the wait.
Oh, no problem. Thank you all for taking my call. You know, his last speech he did, he threatened Americans with the use of F-16s that didn't go along with his policies.
Right.
As a pastor, I'm deeply concerned for our nation when a president gets up there and makes comments that there's a battle for the soul of the nation. And it's very concerning. I mean, my heart breaks for him because, you know, we've got a lot of good people in America. And
yep,
I'm telling you, you know, this is a demonic spiritual warfare at its finest.
Look, I mean, Trey, I think it's hard not to just jump to that conclusion. I mean, if someone who's a pastor, someone coming from North Carolina, when you hear the battle for the soul of America, then you hear that this is what we're talking about. And you see this in this very, like I said, Halloween-looking setting.
The soul of America is the termination of unborn children. I mean, that's what he's saying. You
first,
realize that.
That's what he said first.
That's why I...
It wasn't 10th. It wasn't in that list.
No, it was the number one thing.
And, like you said, and labeling that as a MAGA conservative, when we look at something like the CPAC polls were like one of the most important issues, that's a pretty MAGA group. Abortion landed like 15th or something this year. I mean, not that, again, not that it's not important to us, because what that really is saying, it's not MAGA conservatives. He's going after Christian conservatives. Period. Because that's who we're talking about here. Let's continue on to thank you for your call. Let's go to Teresa, who is calling in Illinois, also been on hold for a half an hour. Thank you, Teresa. You're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call, Jay. First of all, as a Christian, the message is so insulting, I can't, and so dividing, I can't imagine. But the visual, I'm looking at these two red pillars, and you can barely see our American flag in the middle as if it had been conquered by two pillars of communism, and that upset me more than anything. I cannot wait. I'm angry to go to vote, not to do anything else, but I cannot wait to get to the polls in November.
Well, there you go.
Maybe it activated some people in the right way.
But the visual was horrifying.
Lisa, I think you're right. Communism, North Korea,
authoritarianism.
This is the vibe that was coming out of it. Do I think President Biden sat there with the lighting director? Probably not. I have a feeling he just walked in and showed up and did his thing and left. But maybe he will from now on, because that's half the conversation people are having. Is wow, it looked like the gates of hell right there on the screen. So let's continue on. Let's go to Lori, who's calling in Arizona on line one. Hey, if you want to call in, we have a little bit of time. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We just cleared out some calls or some lines, so we have some room. Lori in Arizona, you're up.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. One of the big things that hit me is when he said the Republicans hate the Constitution. That, I was like, what? It was kind of like, okay, I don't think you follow the Constitution that much in your choices.
Yeah.
So.
Well, he keeps saying democracy, we're a constitutional republic, there is a difference.
I mean, we have that bite. Let's hear bite 13 from Joe Biden.
MAGA Republicans do not respect the Constitution. They do not believe in the rule of law. They do not recognize the will of the people.
Yeah, well, this is a guy that had, let me tell you, on the speech he gave, let me tell you how many references talking about the rule of law that he had as it relates to things like...
Crime.
Zero. The border, which is a big problem, zero. Fentanyl, zero. But believe me, three references to Donald Trump, seven to extremism, 13 to MAGA, 16 to Republicans. So that kind of tells you where he's at.
Yeah, absolutely. And coming to you from Philadelphia, from a major city, probably with some crime issues. I don't know exactly
big time
Philadelphia's crime rating, but I have a feeling it's not low.
Not great.
It's not low. Let's keep going. Let's go to David, who's calling on line two. David, you're on the air.
Oh, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Joe Biden forgot to mention reality, that the Democrats are the party in power and destroyed our energy independence, highest gas prices in history, crime, and are destroying our country. Next point, they want to divide Republicans. Don't let them, because all mainstream Republicans are mega Republicans. You know, only Rhino Republicans are not real Republicans.
You know, I don't even know if Joe Biden knows what America First agenda is, to be honest. Okay, I'm not sure, because as Logan said, and you know, David, this is to your point. What Logan said is the first thing he went after are pro-life Americans, yeah. Which, let's be honest, within the mega capacity, is not the big issue.
Yeah, in Philadelphia, because I just pulled up the stats, has the highest murder rate per capita among the country's top largest cities.
That tells you
something. Doing it from Philadelphia, and not mentioned crime. Not mention any of the problems they're having. Barely mentions gun violence. Things that you'd think he would actually want to address. But no, what does he do? He brings up President Trump 40 times as if he's still the president. Or, you know, 15 times, whatever it was. But MAGA 13 times, essentially the same thing. It didn't feel like a president. It felt like someone running for president.
Well, he is. He's trying to send a message to the Democratic Party. That those that said anywhere. He can't, that he shouldn't run again. That was, let me tell you, part of this messaging was from Joe Biden to his Democratic base, that those of you that think I'm not running again, guess what? He is.
And it wasn't a stumbling, bumbling Joe Biden speech. You have to give it to him for that. He definitely said what he wanted to say, and it was horrifying and disturbing. So maybe I prefer stumbling, bumbling, goofy Joe Biden than I do, you know, horror movie North Korean Joe Biden.
We grab
let's
here.
Go to Debbie really quick. Debbie, you're on the air. Debbie, you
Thank
there?
You
sure, go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call.
What's your comment?
As I've been listening to the excerpts on Biden's speech, it did remind me, as one of your other callers said, Hitler, Frank, talking to people and persuading them that the Aryan race was.
I want to say something about that, because here's what it is. They're first, it's hard to compare anybody to Hitler. I mean, to be honest. Yeah. However, the imaging that was utilized.
Yeah, if you watched it on mute.
Okay, it was very authoritarian looking and at times sounding, and it was ominous. Yeah. So
like Castro.
Yeah, like, it was that kind of
vibe.
Yeah.
It was more that vibe of this, again, extreme military
North Korea,
vibe.
China.
Yeah.
These are not good regimes. These are bad regimes. And but look, I think it was a signal to the Democrats, he's running again, and don't run against him. That's what the message was there. And then he managed to insult the rest of the Republicans, who, based on our calls today, are going out in the polls and voting in November.
All right, that's going to do it for today's broadcast. We'll be back with brand new shows next week. Always stay in touch with the ACLJ at aclj.org and support the work there.
Have a good holiday weekend.
Have a good holiday weekend. Subscribe to new podcasts launching in just under 2 weeks, Secular Brothers Podcast on secularbrothers.com. See ya next week.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.